Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Every one of us is afraid of something. No matter how strong, how confident, or how great of a planner we are, there's something that invites us to worry and to be anxious. For Susie Davis, the source of that fear was witnessing an unimaginable act of violence as a teenager, a school shooting that played out right in her classroom. But in the season of struggle she walked through following that tragedy, Susie says she wasn't alone. And now, the speaker and author offers the source of her healing and new hope to us and to her readers. She's just released her latest work called Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation, and joins us today on the road. And welcome to the show, Susie. How is this fine day treating you in beautiful Austin, Texas?
Oh my gracious, it's the best. It's the best ever.
Well, let's set this up first by discovering the heart behind your message in Dear Daughters. Why in 2019 did you want to offer this support, this wisdom and encouragement to the next generation of women?
Well, I have three kids. They're all young adult children right now and married, and we have a grandson. But when my kids were younger, like in high school years, I just noticed that when their friends came over and I was making them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and hand them across the counter, they were just soaking up what we were talking about, and I would ask them questions about their lives. And I just noticed then that they were looking for, like, kind of a spiritual mother, someone a little bit wiser. Maybe their mother was absent in their life, or maybe she wasn't spiritual and they just wanted someone beside, or maybe they just wanted another someone in their life to have input. And when my daughters went off to college, I started writing online notes to them. I would start it with Dear Daughters, and it was just little bits of wisdom that I thought maybe they would want to remember in their lives. And what happened is other women responded to it besides just my girls, and reached out, and I just found there were a lot of women who wanted a mentor figure in their lives, someone older who was okay being older, who wasn't trying to be young and hip and cool, they wanted someone like that to listen to their stories, to ask them questions, to pray for them, to walk alongside them. And as I started realizing that there were other women besides even just my daughter's friends and my son's friends, it's kind of been an outpouring of these girls who reach out through social media or direct message or on my Instagram feed, that just they're longing for an older woman in their life to just talk about things. So that's really what happened. Is it really started very organically and naturally for me?
Wow, that's really special.
And it's rolled into this other thing that is really beautiful.
Well, and you say you're not hip and cool, and yet you're on all these social media platforms to begin with, so that's saying something.
Well, you're nice, but I'm still a 55-year-old woman, I don't mind saying that I am, and I'm not trying to be 20, but I want to hang out where those dear daughters want to hang out. And so, and I love Instagram, I love photos, I love nature, and so I take pictures, and I share pictures of my family, but it's that millennial group that really tugged at my heart. And when some of those girls, they'll email me, I've had girls I don't know email and ask if I'll mentor them, and it tears me apart that I can't mentor all the women that reach out. But this book is really what I'm hoping is going to be a conversation with her, with that woman who wants a mentor. It's just a conversation between me and her. And what I hope is that she'll take that book and go to lunch with an older woman and find a spiritual mama in her own neighborhood that she can sit across the table or counter and have those real conversations about God and life.
Well, it is, of course, written, the book Dear Daughters, in mind with young women, but I got to say, reading through much of it, I was struck just personally by so much of what you had to say, even as a gentleman myself. You talked about anxiety and worry in an extremely powerful way, because you have quite a perch on this issue. You know, we're all afraid of something, but Susie, for you, it was this singular moment of just unimaginable sadness that really led to a battle with anxiety, worrying, and questioning that you talk about. Before we talk about that moment, though, can you share a bit just about where you were when it comes to faith before that moment happened as a youngster?
Absolutely. And you're talking about when I was 14, but when I was 12, I learned about Jesus from a Young Life leader, and I read the Bible, and I believed what I read, and it was rainbows and butterflies and Jesus. I was like all in. So, and had been raised in a pretty healthy family. My mom and dad loved each other, and they were seeking God too. So it was kind of an ideal situation right before all the trauma broke in.
Understood. Okay, that really helps to understand that. And if you're just tuning in today on the road for Faith Radio, Susie Davis is with us today. She's an author, a speaker, and her latest offering is called Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation. And I'm Ryan Thomas. So then, as a 14-year-old student in English class, you're prepared for just another normal day when your classmate walks through the doors with a rifle and shoots your teacher. How do you even begin to process that as a teenager?
Yeah, it was, and this was way back before, unfortunately and sadly now we hear about these things all the time, but this was way back in 1978 when nothing like this was happening. It was a neighborhood school, the boy was a neighbor three doors up, and someone that I had grown up with, so it was incredibly shocking. And our teacher died, resulting in, witnessing a murder. But what happened, Ryan, is that I was trying to negotiate how a loving God could allow things like that to happen. And I was trying to figure out how this Jesus that I fell in love with, and it was all rainbows and butterflies, and how that fit in with a really an unsafe world. And so as the years, went by, I still loved God, but I started distrusting him because I felt like he must have been someplace on the other side of the world taking care of something more important than me when that happened. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let me see that. He wouldn't have let my teacher die. He wouldn't have let my classmate and neighbor become so ill that he did something like that. It was a really, looking back, I can see how that one incident created so much heartbreak for me and created this fear bondage that I was under for a long time.
Let me explore that for just a moment before we circle back to this incredible freedom that you find in being willing to ask the question that you just mentioned. But you put it this way in the book. You say, I constantly thought about the next awful thing that might happen if I wasn't hyper alert and always on guard. I felt wholly responsible for everything in my life. It was exhausting. Our small shoulders are not meant to carry that kind of pressure. It is such an amazing way of articulating that. And even though, for most of us, it's nothing as intense as what you witnessed or experienced, but we can understand what you're saying. Can you share just a bit about what it was like to deal with that on a daily basis in that season?
Well, yeah. And you said, most of us haven't experienced that. And that's true. Most people have not witnessed a murder. But I have to say that there's someone listening who has been in a family, and maybe their dad walked out, and every day they wonder, why would he leave our family? Why wasn't I lovable enough for him to care about having a relationship with me? Or maybe there's a young woman listening, and they're dealing with chronic illness, and every day they wake up and wonder why their body's not whole and why they can't go do the things they want to do and why it happened so young. So even though mine was very traumatic and dramatic, and it happened really fast. It happened and it was over. But for many people who suffer with prolonged hardship and heartbreak, it's the same. That anxiety can overwhelm and come into someone else's life too. So, yeah, I was just waiting for the next bad thing. I felt hyper alert, like you said. I was, on the outside, I was smiling and working hard at school and doing all the things, but on the inside, there was just this little reel, this bad news reel going off in my head, because guess what? That wasn't made up. That was reality for me. It really did happen. And so I was like, why wouldn't it happen again? But what I found is that, you know, when I was bound up in that anxiety, and when you're bound up in that kind of anxiety, you miss the daily wonder. And, you know, God has filled the world to the brim with beauty. And he whispers to the sun and it rises. And he whispers to us. He has love notes for us that he drops all over our lives. But when we're just consumed with the what if and the worry, we miss all the beauty in life.
It's so true and so well said. You describe this process where eventually you say you cratered and God caught you. And you mentioned just a few moments ago, one of the most powerful central themes that you offer in the book is saying, let's not diminish our pain by either trying not to think about it or by sweeping it away under the rug. But you say, let's look with compassion and curiosity at the source of the problem and the heartbreak it created. And for you, as you said, that was this idea that you say that God really couldn't be as trustworthy as you thought that he was. What was it like to confront that head on?
Well, God, ever the faithful healer and ever the good father, brought me through a healing process that he allowed me to, you know, get to the end of myself. And and it really happened when I had our first child, because I think it was one thing to take care of me and feel like I had to take care of me and manage me in my world. But then when I thought about something bad happening to my child, it just like blew up. And because I was like over my dead body, I'm going to let anything happen to my baby.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, like you said, we're not meant to manage that. We're not meant to carry that on our shoulders. And so God took me through a healing process that was really beautiful and very personal and creative. And it's actually, I've written about it in a whole nother book called Unafraid. I write about the murder and about the anxiety and about how God healed me. But he brought me through it. And I can tell you that I'm free. I mean, do I get upset, and does it touch a deep part of me when I hear about school shootings or things like that, or just horrible, hard things happen to people? Yeah. And I'll always walk with that limp. But I can tell you, and my family can attest to this, I am free. I'm joyful. I am just obsessed with the love notes God leaves in my life and the beauty that he has in my world. And He rescued me. He healed me. And it's like a miracle.
There's so much joy in that. Susie Davis with us today, the author and speaker whose latest offering is called Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation. And there's so much in this book. Thanks so much for exploring that with us today. I was so struck by that, the discussion of anxiety and the discussion of worry. But you also dig into the concept of purpose and remind us that true worth is not found in skills, vocation, or the impressive nature of our job titles. And it's so easy to lose sight of that for all of us, really, even though we know it's true. But why can we really believe that's true?
Well, I mean, the world wants to value us based on what we do and what our job is and how important, what kind of degree we graduated with. And it's, you know, it's understandable that we would want to feel worthwhile in that, but our true worth is based on who God made us and our unique, quirky personality, you know, the way that he shaped our bodies. And that's where, when you realize that you're loved by the creator of the whole wide world and that he created you with the kind of awe that you have, that when you look at the ocean and you're like, wow, that's amazing. That's how God feels about you. And my goal and my hope is that when people read this book or just when they experience God, is they would start to see themselves that way and love themselves. Because that's like the best compliment we can give God, is to really enjoy who God made us to be and know that he created us in a unique way with a personality and a distinct skill set. And to really embrace it and live inside of it is like, it's joyful living, and it's also like grateful living.
Wow. That is so cool. There are two things there that I don't think I've ever thought about quite that way before, but your description of God looking at us and feeling that same awe in us looking at the ocean, and then as well that concept of self-worth as really just being a compliment to him for the amazing creation that he's done. Thank you for that. That's an awesome, refreshing perspective.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you love yourself.
Some days more than others, I have to admit. Well, as well, there's so many wonderful things in the book here, but I want to continue to explore. You know, the one of the things that really tugs on my heart the most as a man, and just considering the things that my sisters have to go through. I mean, another theme you explore, societies and really our own expectations of our appearance and our image. And man, my heart just breaks for women because the pressures out there are just so massive. We had another guest just recently put it this way, that it used to be that young girls only had to try to live up to the covers of fashion magazines only, right? But now they have to try to live up to their own Instagram accounts. And
I know, right?
You have some really fresh hope, though, that breaks through on this topic. Tell me about giving grace to yourself when it comes to appearance.
Oh, man. Okay, it's like totally in conjunction with the last thing we talked about. But one of the things, I don't know when I started doing this, but, well, I'll tell you what happened for me. When I dealt with some body issue things and some, when I was coming through my fear stronghold, and I think that it manifested itself in that. So I've had those body image issues in my history, probably in high school and college. And so, but when our youngest daughter was like 3 years old, I was popping her in the bathtub, and her cute little naked body sunk into the bubbles, and I was like, gosh, she's just the cutest thing I've ever seen. And it was like God just like broke in. He was like, you know what? You look just like her. And it was like, I realized I did. She looked just like me. And why didn't I love my body as much as I loved her, her little body? And that was when I did something really kind of bizarre but fabulous. I found a picture of myself at the same age as my young daughter, Sierra, when I was like 3 years old. And I put them both on the refrigerator to remind me to love myself the way that I loved her. And I started asking dear daughters that I would talk to, I was like, you know what, you need to fish up a baby picture of yourself and put it in a frame or put it on the fridge and just start remembering that, you know, who you were as a child, and you're that same person, and you need to love yourself the way that a mother would love her baby, you know. And that's my, you know, my hope is that the one person we live with the longest and we're with the most often is ourselves, body included. Why wouldn't we learn to love that person? And like I said, it is a compliment to God. Like, he created you the way you are, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And for us to be able to enjoy company with ourselves and enjoy being, and not wake up and look in the mirror and just feel disdain and, you know, disregard, but to go, yeah, I'm not perfect compared to my Instagram feed or somebody else's, but I really love myself. Like, I'm okay with me. Like, I like hanging out with me. I like the way I look. That's like a goal, I think, for us all, regardless men or women, to just accept and love the body we have that gets us through this life and take care of it and enjoy what God has given you and delight in it.
Man, what a great word. This concept really bleeds into that, but we've talked a good bit about social media already, and alongside some of the other strands we've talked about, this is a quote from you in the book. You say this: we stop looking so much at what other people are doing. Social media has changed the way we look at the world. It's ridiculously easy to get online, look through a tiny phone screen, thinking everyone else is off living adventurously or serving God in visible ways. It is dangerous to judge your value by what other people are doing. It's then that you diminish your own life. You believe that somehow, some way, your life isn't inherently valuable, just as it is. That is so powerful. So I guess the question would be, how do we stop?
Well, I mean, I think that speaks to contentment. And for me, it's a constant struggle. Like, I continually I try to fold into this attitude of gratitude, because when you're grateful, you're not discontent. But practically, if looking at the phone, at Instagram, can't help you be in a position to love your life and love the gifts God's giving you and the people that God's giving you, I mean, and I know this sounds radical, but, like, delete it. Or if there are certain people, even that you love and respect, that every time you look at their feed, it makes you feel, like, roughed up inside and you're not happy, like, unfollow them. I mean, you know, do the things, run after the things that make you love God and love your life more. And step away from the things that creating you a spirit of discontentment with the God that made you. That would be a real practical piece to, you know, finding that kind of joy, because that's when you find the joy. That's when you find the joy. You don't find joy when you're wishing for something that somebody else has that's not yours. But you do find joy when you delight in the things that are right in front of you, that God has given you.
That's lovely. Well, the author and speaker we've been talking with today on the road, Susie Davis, her latest offering called Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation. And it's just been so much fun talking with you today, Susie. Thanks so much once again for taking the time to be with us.
Oh, my gracious. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
We do have just a few more moments. Before we get to maybe a final question here, why don't I just ask you about, if people are just touched by this message, where do they go on social media? Where do they go on the web to follow you and to pick up a copy of the book?
Absolutely. My website is a great place to start. It's susiedavis.org. I'm also, as we've talked about, I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I like to hang on Instagram. I'm there pretty much daily. And the book, you can find it at your local bookseller, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, of course. You can find it online pretty easy. It's Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation.
You know, one, there's so many things in the book that are just such a blessing and so freeing. And it really is a fresh perspective, too. I mean, on a number of these issues that are so relatable and so important to us, you really do look at it through a lens that really makes you think. And saying that even as a man myself, but one thing that I noticed as well, you talk about motherhood and also that concept of letting go of your older children. And just as a mother of three, how were you able to find that ability to quote unquote let go of your adult children, trust their independent life choices without feeling the need to get involved or try to control a situation?
Okay, this is a good one. I mean, I want them to want to come back and see me. And the way that you do that is you let them be free. But really, it's also just accepting, for many women, and this book isn't just for younger women. I mean, we've talked primarily about that, but it's for the older woman who feels like, who is grieving the empty nest. And I just have to say to her, your nest doesn't ever need to be empty. There's always someone, there's always a dear daughter around that would love for you to spiritually mother her. They're everywhere. And I think it's in kind of opening your heart to other people that you're able to release your adult children too and say, you know, release them and bless them and allow them to come in and out as they will. And just, you know, grieve that they're gone and that time is over, but look for the new way and the new thing God has for you. And for me, it's being available to other women who maybe didn't have what I had growing up, which was a great mother and someone who was spiritual who directed me. So I think that's honestly part of the key of being able to let go graciously, is like realizing that you still have something to offer and look for those people that are hungry for the kind of mothering that you have that you could give to others.
Well, joining us today from the one-time Republic of Texas, the capital of Austin, Susie Davis, the author and speaker whose latest book is called Dear Daughters, Love Letters to the Next Generation. I always love to mention Republic of Texas whenever we're talking to a Texan. It seems like you guys like that kind of thing.
We, you know what? We are. We're funny like that. We don't mind that at all.
What an absolute treat to talk with you today. Thank you so much for your time. It was such a blessing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I'm grateful that I got to talk with you today.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.